Richie Havens. The great Richie Havens with his cover of the Youngbloods song, Darkness, Darkness, that comes from his 1994 album, Cuts to the Chase. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrace Lead. And I don't know about you, but I feel whooped. And I didn't do much. I cleaned here, I cleaned there. But just the barrage of information, I couldn't keep up with it. And it wouldn't stop. An unrelenting coverage of things, all kinds of crazy things happening all over the world. And somebody in the news business has decided that we all need to know exactly what it is that happened. And so we had an unending accounting of stories, but at the same time, when you disassemble the stories, when you tear them apart, you say, but wait a minute, this is news? Are they telling us what the news is here, or are we supposed to figure it out? And that's why I come to you today, and with this idea in mind. I'm not going to tell you about the news. You, in fact, will tell us all. What was the news? What did you distill all of this information to be and to mean? All the information that you got exposed to over the weekend, what really is the news as you see it? After all this nonstop coverage and talking and interviews and all kinds of information, what was the news? That's my question to you today. What's news? You tell us all. Share with us what you thought this, especially this past weekend, what the news is. And also, go a little further and tell us why it's news. I know, suddenly it dawns on you, I don't know why it's news. But the ball is in your lap. You're going to tell us, from all that you experienced since the last time we talked on Friday, what's news? And why is it news? Give us a reasonable explanation from your perspective. What's news? And why is it news? I know it's an unusual assignment. We're not asked to pick apart the media's interpretation of news. They give us the news, and that's what it is. It's the news. But I'm asking you to tell me why it is news. What the news is in the news that you select. And why is it news? 888-874-4888. I know it's a troublesome assignment today, but there's a reason for it, of course. We blithely and blindly say, oh, it's on the news. I just read this in the news. Or here's the news. Okay. Now tell us what's the news. And tell us why. This is not just from your personal opinion, but tell us why this institution that gave you this product over the past weekend called The News. What makes it The News? Is it the only news that they could have been reporting, or was it a decision that this is the news, the news? And how is it that we all seem to come away from the weekend with the same idea in mind, that we know what the news was? Did you ever stop to think that that's an unusual experience? That whether you live in Podunk or in Pennsylvania, we share the same opinion, that we have some knowledge of the news. Tell us now, if you can, share your ideas about why is it news, and why do we have the same or similar views that we were exposed to the news? We know the news. We know what the news is. Okay. I can bet you at least a dime. It's probably my last dime, but I'll bet you that you have no idea how it became the news. But you know it's the news, because other people know it as the news too. What does that tell us, the news? What does it tell us about how we live, the society we're living in, and how we are being prepared for blind obedience and subjugation to an authority? Because they wouldn't leave us alone to decide what we consider the news to be. They tell us what it is. So they relieve us of that burden. We don't even have to discriminate. We don't have to, you know, sift through all the things that were possibly said and that we were exposed to over the weekend and pick and choose. We know what the news is. We know what the dominant news is. And we know the facts of the news, which is the more important thing, isn't it? 888-874-4888. Yes, I'm going to jam you up today, and you are going to account for yourself and what you know as the news. How do you know it's the news? Who told you that? And even if you believe it to be true, that this is the news, not some news or a little bit of news, but this is the news, how did it become so uniform that, as I said, no matter where you're living in the United States, you were aware of what the news was and still is? What is that all about? And in as much as that is a reality for us, every day we are exposed to the news somehow, what therefore do we do with our minds? Do we need our minds at all? Do we need to think? Do we need to question? when we know what the news is? They tell us what the news is. Is there any more work to be done? Any more thinking? That's an odd thing, don't you think? But that's the reality we live. Every single day, we are told what's in the news or what's news. All right. So I want to hear from you. What do you define this phenomenon as? What is it? Is it helpful or harmful to us individually and collectively? Is it useful? Is it something that we should expect to last for the rest of our lives? That we wake up and then we check in to find out what's the news? While we were sleeping, while we were resting, while we were trying desperately to encourage our brain cells to grow and be independent. Instead, we get wind of what the news is. And what does that mean in our society? 888-874-4888. We start off, or we are started off, by Gwen from New York. Hello, Gwen.
Hi. Hi, Eutrice.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you're asking about the news. I'm not really sure if you want me to parrot back to you what they said the news was this weekend, or if you just made a comment on what I see as the news.
What did they say?
Okay, it's always crucial, this news. There's usually all the news on all the stations, including WBAI, is always about COVID. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's the very first news. Even with the hurricanes we had this weekend here, the first thing that came on was the COVID. So they always tell you the cases, but not the deaths. There's always some little study, but you don't know how many people were in the study. I was listening to WNYC this morning. I heard a woman citing studies about injuries in with COVID vaccine, but you know, she was a vaccineologist that couldn't answer any questions about the vaccine because she kept saying it wasn't her expertise. It's very sad also when you call into places like WNYC radio, that every single call must be vetted. And if you deviate from the line with a different opinion on anything, you may not get on the radio. This is your public radio station. It has happened now with WBAI. They're pretty much in lockstep. Every single show is about the virus and everybody on the left is in lockstep with, you know, the lockdown and getting the vaccine. And there actually looks like there's no news happening. Now, there's always something on all the news, though. There's always some stupid story at the end about a mystery of a couple going missing in Colorado and someplace that, you know, like, there's a million people that go missing in America every single day. They always have one of those humanitarian pieces on, or some stuff at the end talking about a local hero. So it stacks up first. It's always first the virus. And I'm not going to call this news. I'm calling this propaganda. And always a lot of people now on their high horse delegating who is a good person and who is a bad person. And obviously I fall into the bad person ranks because I'm not willing to take the vaccine, which we don't know enough about at this point to know long road what it's going to do to you. So I want to say also that as far as the news is concerned, it reaches out to everybody. I was on a meeting last night, and a woman was very sad about her autistic child. And I just chimed in to say that, you know, I had the same experience with my nephew. And then I said, you know, I said, that's the reason why I don't want to take, I made this decision not to take this vaccine was because of what I saw with my nephew. And man, I got closed down so fast and shut up and with such hostility. It was like we were in like the Soviet Union, like what people think of the Soviet Union. I was shut down and told that this was an inappropriate thing to speak about, that was off topic. And it was just, it was unbelievable. You know, you can't say it to anybody. The minute you say something to somebody with a very logical reason, you know, I think my reasons are very logical, but that doesn't make the news. I know what's really important to me is getting the news. And so one person I'm listening to or one station is this station, because I might not agree with everything that I hear, but, you know, I have to say that Gary Noel's been great with keeping up with the news as it changes when it comes to the vaccine and the virus. And he's had incredible people on. And I think that everybody in America deserves to hear this information, because nobody seems to be able to make up their mind about what they want to do except for it to be told what to do. And so,
So what does this suggest to you? The whole process of the news and your mind being shaped by the news and the attitude of the news makers and keepers about what the news ought to be.
Well, I know one thing, that I used to date a reporter, and I know that that he was pretty to the left, and he always got reined back in, because if any story he was going to do was going to hit somebody who was a sponsor, he wasn't allowed to do the news. And there's some pretty, you know, for local people in this little town, it was pretty important that the local Acme food market was putting weights in the scales, so that when you put your fruits and vegetables up there, they were weighing heavier and they were charging you more for it. But he couldn't do that story because they were a sponsor. Now, I bring that story to you in a small way, just in the greater picture, saying this, that right now, the news stations and newspapers have been clobbered and consolidated by all kinds of hedge funders out there and people that have just an agenda to promote their propaganda. So I see that news has become nothing more than propaganda. And I include Amy Goodman every day when I hear her parrot her news, because all she talks about is this vaccine, and she's obsessed with it, and she never plays the other side of it. And I can't tell you my huge disappointment with WBAI radio, that no one is allowed to speak against the agenda of what the news is today. So just let's get this right. There is no news anymore. America has propaganda 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All kinds of stupid stories that affect you in no way at all, while things are happening in the city that are crucial to people, really important. And you all hear them because they're not on the news. We don't put news on the news. It's too dangerous to have news on the news.
Thank you for getting us started.
Thank you.
And so vigorously, too. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing. Thank you. Russell from Westchester. What is the news? What is your version of the news today?
Well, Utrice, it's very interesting. And you ask what is depicted as the news, but you do have to sift to find out what is true. And then the news really reveals, and we don't have to be prepared for blind obedience. The women who participate in their own oppression in Afghanistan, I thought that we were over there to save women in Afghanistan, but it's become apparent to me that the women that I see on TV all seem to be very comfortable wearing burqas or head wraps and things like that, and that didn't just happen all of a sudden. So apparently these women are participating in their own oppression over there. We don't really have a right to come and say, well, maybe there's 100,000 very Western-oriented women that we have to protect. And what it reflects to me is that the oppression of women over here is also seen with women who support Cuomo. Cuomo is one of the worst type of oppressors, workplace oppressors, and they act like it's just a little pat on the rear end or, you know, groping or a kiss. And it's more about the whole workplace. And women are the worst people here oppressing in the other, participating in their own oppression. And I want to ask you, Utrice, if you think wearing masks over here is appealing to some people, women who don't have to wear makeup, who then can, you know, be more anonymous. That's what I'd like to ask you.
I don't know. I just figure mm-hmm. people make up their own minds as to whether they want to wear a mask or not wear a mask.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I'm sorry, what?
But I don't get to, I don't find the subject to be that deep.
Mm-hmm. You mean wearing a mask?
It isn't. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You don't want to wear a mask? Don't wear one.
But as the last
don't
caller said,
when things start happening to you.
But as the last caller said, they're going to start separating us into good people and bad people, clean and unclean. And they'll say, oh, you don't have to get a vaccine or wear a mask, but you're all going to have to be in one place together, concentrated. And that's what's coming if we don't stop it now. And I don't think electoral politics...
Let me ask you a question, because
sure.
I don't want us to get so specific that we're discussing the efficacy of wearing masks.
Okay, Gil.
What is... In your view, what's mm-hmm. news? Could you cite something and tell us? Well, that to me is news.
Oh, what is news?
What is news?
Okay.
Of all the subjects discussed over the weekend, or even before then, and including today, what struck you as genuinely news?
Okay, over this week. Over this weekend, what struck me as news, and I might be out of the ordinary. Everyone thinks they're extraordinary. But what struck me is this conflict in Afghanistan is really more of an internal conflict here between the Pentagon and certain pro-Chinese elements in our government who want to open up Afghanistan for the Belt Road Initiative, the mining of lithium for the electric cars that China's going to... There are people here who want to see the advancement of China. And I love China, too. I think state capitalism has done wonders over there. But we have to see it for what it is. We shouldn't be shipping jobs over there. We shouldn't be sacrificing ourselves for, you know, I don't know, world federalism or whatever it is. So I think it's the Pentagon making Biden look bad because Biden owes them. Just look at Hunter Biden's laptop, and you'll see what Joe owes him. But, Eutrice, thank you very much. I'm really going to listen to the show after Gary Noh every day. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling in and contributing today. I really appreciate your call. Mark from New York, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. What's news? And how did it get to be so? Okay, Mark, we lost you. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you, and to you too, in return.
Mm-hmm. In terms of your question, what is the news? I'm thinking, there's another question too, in terms of like what is programming. I know that radio and TV stations have what they call programs. Why do they call the schedules programming? One definition of programming is the action or process of scheduling something, especially radio or television programs. And programming itself is the implementation of logic to facilitate a specified operation or functionality.
But you're taking us way beyond our borders.
All right.
I just want to know what's news, as you define it.
News is what the news directors of these TV stations or radio stations say is the news, in a way. It's the people who sit around the table and decide what will be broadcasted and what won't be. That's what I'm thinking the news is. But let me add this. The best news I've heard some of the best news I've heard in a while was your show last Thursday when you talked about our minds. And I think, let's see, I wrote it down. You said, quote, our only real protection is to maintain an independence of mind, end of quote.
That's right.
That was news. And I was thinking how, there was this guy, he was a guru, considered a thinking guru or something, Edward DeBono. He once said that, you know, rather than schools teaching children to absorb information and repeat it, you know, schools should equip children how to think, you know, creatively, something like that, end of quote. You know, and I've been thinking about, you know, what you said on that program and how I was never really, I don't think, taught formally how to think. You know, in all my years of so-called education and schooling, I was taught to, you know, repeat what the teacher put out, you know, and you know, and get the gold stars or the A's or whatever, you know, to like that big, you know, lie about Columbus discovering America. You know, if you didn't tell the teacher that, you flunked. You know, I guess maybe that was a form of programming, too, to a degree. And
so how do you decide what's news? When you hear it, when it's broadcast, every station's carrying the same story, the same way, citing the same people, the same dilemmas, the same problems. How do you discern or begin to discern what truly is the news? For you, what is that process? What does that process look like?
Well, I listen to what they're saying and see how it applies to my life, and if it applies to my life or the life of my loved ones or folks I know or care about. And I'm, you know, and I've learned to be suspect and not just take it as the so-called gospel, what these folks are putting down, because they lie. They feed out mistruths, and they have an agenda. The folks who own these airwaves and who put out the quote-unquote news. Another reason why I know it's the news is because they tell me it's the news. Tune in for the 4 o'clock news. This is news. Eyewitness news. News. Whatever. They told me that the stuff was the news, and that's why I thought it was the news. But I don't know whose news it is and whose agenda that news serves, but they can't have all of the news. The known universe and the known globe and the known city is too broad for them to possibly consider broadcasting all the news. And who decides what is news? I don't know. Who decides? Again, I think it's back those folks who sit around that table. Who decide,
could you give two examples of, you've listened to the news over the weekend. What have you discerned to be two examples of the news?
All right. There was an article on Asia Today where this one guy wrote an article about the USA and its so-called loss of credibility in Afghanistan. And then there was another article about this special bullet that DARPA is developing that can show enough target and hit whoever it is targeted at. This bullet is like a sensor. It's a tracing. The bullet will chase you. In other words, they're testing that thing out, spending, according to this article, spending lots of money doing that, studying how to destroy. And then there was another, and then today, you know, there was that headline about how the FDA has approved some version of the Pfizer inoculation against this thing they're calling SARS-CoV-2. You know, the vaccine, quote unquote, vaccine or inoculation has received some form of FDA approval, the Federal Drug Administration approval. The same folks who approved that Vioxx drug back in the day that they had to reverse that approval on.
Why did you choose these specific examples as news to you?
Because you just asked me to.
No, I mean, of all the things that you read and heard and you saw on television and broadcast and the news and so forth, what did you pick up as a consumer of information as the news?
Okay, now forgive me. I'm getting a little lost here. Tell me something. What do you mean when you say news? What are you talking about? Forgive me. I'm getting lost here now.
Well, we are all exposed to information, some of which is called news, right?
Yes.
Okay. And to some degree or the other, we in turn ingest this information because we're told it's news. It's the news. So we trust it. We don't subject it to any particular inquiry because it comes from credible sources. And we put it in the bank of information that we have without ourselves being expert enough to decide whether this is good information or bad information. But we come to regard it as news. And this process is repeated all over the world. People are exposed to certain kinds of information that they select or maybe not to put into their own information bank. And that's what they're working with in terms of what their knowledge of the world is. So when they interact with each other, some of what they are exchanging is this kind of information that they got as news. So if you follow the logical line here, you see how, as consumers of information, we pretty much are operating with dead heads. We're not questioning things. We're not asking questions about the validity of these subjects or how they prove these subjects or what they mean to us, but we ingest it, we store it, we use it at some point. And we do so because we trust the institutions that disseminate this information. We don't think of ABC as a mean, bad presence. We don't think of the New York Times as a mean, bad presence, so we're likely to trust what they say and make use of the information they share without us ourselves having any expertise or experience in independently judging the quality of the information. So every day, exposed as we are to sources of information that we trust, we gather an awful lot of knowledge because we first encounter this knowledge as news. And we absolutely do not pause to check anything. We just say, okay, it comes from a credible source. So I will trust it. And that becomes information that we use all the time. We put it in our library. It's part of our reference material that we use all the time. And we're comfortable with it.
That's okay. Yeah.
Until something happens and we say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Like this situation we told about in Afghanistan. We told about the conflict that is now boiling over. The likelihood of the attacks spreading even wider. But we're not told about the news of it. We told about what might happen. We told all kinds of other things, but we're not told about the legitimacy of that point of view to begin with.
Agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm asking, are we, in other words, are we discriminating enough to check these things that we very often automatically incorporate into our reservoir of information as real, as factual, as true? Or do we just, because it's been furnished to us and because it comes from a, quote, legitimate source, unquote, we are therefore part of an operation to really not tell the truth, to disguise the truth, to hide it?
Yeah, for what reason? Yeah, to hide it, right, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm listening. I don't want to take up a whole lot of time. I don't know.
No, but that's just a question. When I ask, what is news?
Mm-hmm.
And then you give me an example that didn't start with you. It's not an organic explanation. It is
okay.
What you have now, and millions and millions and millions of people, myself included, we're all exposed to a predefined news.
Right.
We then incorporate it into our reservoir. And this becomes part of our knowledge base,
mm-hmm.
This news. So I'm trying to identify the progression here, that we, without questioning things, without seeing the obvious contradictions in some things, we just swallow it wholesale.
Yes. Yeah, I'm guilty. Right.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's
what they rewarded us to do. We got rewards for rolling like that, you know, mm-hmm. all through the educational process, in the religious process, you know, in the job process. Yeah, you get rewarded to shut down that God-given brain, get rewarded to not look at logic and follow the logic. Now, let me say this and get off of the phone. Here's a piece of news. I got a plant on my kitchen table, and this plant is amazing. It follows the sun. You know, I switch it around and move it and test it out to see what it does. And, you know, this plant, the leaves, it will reach for the sun in this window no matter what. This is a smart plant. So I don't know the name of the
well,
plant,
actually,
but
it's like any other plant. It is photosynthetic, so it follows the light because the light helps it build its resources, its food, and it helps with the plant's own processes of life. So all plants tend to follow the sun, except, you know, cacti, they don't care.
Wait, which one
but
doesn't
plants,
care?
But plants do follow the sun because they need it. It is necessary for them to synthesize their own food, their own nourishment, their own whatever it is they produce. That's the point of many plants following the sun.
Indeed.
The sun is life.
Yeah, it's true to its nature. It's following the universal laws that it was created by and the laws it needs to sustain itself. Yeah.
So
but
it's
anyway,
doing its plant thing. It's just being a plant. Thanks, Leona, for your call today. Russell from New York, you're on the air. What
Therese,
is
I'm
news?
Well, you know, I'm taking a second bite at the apple today, and I'm so glad you're allowing me to, and I'll be real quick. But your question, I began to understand that you're asking what's the process for determining the true news. And how I do it with television is that the pictures they show don't match what the talking head is telling us. And in that little rift, there's something to be noticed. And that's how I determine the news, Utrecht. And, you know, I appreciate you letting me, you know, bring that back up.
But what is it?
Well, it's you know, you watch the TV and they show pictures of shooting at the airport. And in the beginning of the news this weekend or last week, they were saying, oh, the Taliban is terrorizing people at the airport. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, those people have fatigues on. They're more or less dressed like an army, like an Afghan army. And it didn't really register until later on I heard another news report, different news report, saying, oh, yeah, well, these were Afghan army shooting blanks into the air to do crowd control, because it was the panic that we induced that got people to run to the airport and stampede themselves. So the panic, and I bring this back to us, because panic and fear is used here to get this vaccine, to get everyone to take a flu shot that they've been trying for a decade to get everyone to take, and now they just got this opportunity to force us all to comply with orders. There's no legislation, and the same thing is going on over there. We've been dictating for 20 years. This was not, you know, a failure of intelligence. We knew this was coming. This is the same as 9/11, a failed intelligence operation. They want us to believe something that's not true, that, oh, they didn't know this was going to happen. Hey, we've been there for 18 months. They haven't been shooting us. We could have stayed for as long as we want. The Taliban would have just taken over, and we could have stayed. But there's this, as I said before, a thing going on within the government, between the military, which wants to stay everywhere forever because it's a big boondoggle for them. We all know that. Yeah, 2,500 soldiers.
Let me ask you this question.
I'm sorry.
Who started this?
Who started this?
Yes.
Well, I think when we went over there and defended those guys in Kuwait who had been torn off of Iraq and then
The United States, who was president at the time?
Well, that was Bush the first. But, of course, Jimmy Carter, who was the first man, the first person I voted for president, he's the one that gave the Afghan freedom fighters the Stinger missiles to shoot Soviet helicopters. So my whole opinion of Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski, especially another evil person, has changed. And when the Ayatollah Khomeini said the United States is the great Satan and Israel is the little Satan, I thought, well, maybe he's right about Israel, but not the United States. Now I know. 40 years later, they were telling the truth. We're living in the heart of darkness here. And what do? We watch TV, we play video games, we drive on the roads and kill each other. That's what happens in the world. And it's going to blow back on us. That's what 9/11 was. We didn't get out of Mecca and Medina after 1991, after we did the invasion of Kuwait. We pulled back to Mecca and Medina. The Saudis begged us to leave for 10 years. We didn't leave until finally they ran a couple of planes into the buildings. And then 3 months later, Bush the Younger is invading Iraq. He's evacuating Saudi Arabia with our troops and invading Iraq to save face. Because if we had just evacuated Saudi Arabia with having no place to go, we would have looked bad.
Where the news starts.
That's where my news starts.
Our current news focus.
Yeah.
Starts right there. With Bush.
Yeah, I think history. I think we all look at the present as though that's the most important thing. And what's most important is where it all started in history, going back and looking to where it should go. But we don't do that in this country. We look at our navel and we say, gee, why is it like this right now? I have no idea. I don't have to get, like that woman said, you don't get an education in school. I mean, I challenged every teacher I ever had, which is, you know, why I never got
far in life. What a surprise.
But, you know,
it's still surprising.
I'm happy with, I'm happy with the way things are.
You see, when we ask the question, what is news? And we get the answer, typically, and especially in these times, we get the answer that, of course, what's going on in Afghanistan is news. It's the big news. What isn't news is who started it. And he's still around. He has not been asked. Why did he start this? He has not been made to account. And that's where I was leading. Bush.
I see. Well, I mean, he didn't even start it. I think Cheney started. Bush was just a puppet. And I think there's a
He was president. He wasn't just a puppet. He was president. He was president. The top guy in our country. He started it.
Well, and that's what they... I'm
up sorry. Until today, I haven't seen any news medium call him to task and revisit this whole scenario that he piloted. He was the point man for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not the one. It's us. It's us. We let this happen.
No. We have to stop. We have to see things the right way. It's not us.
No. Yes, it is. Utrecht, let me ask you. You know, see, when Trump was president and he tried to get out of Syria, and all of a sudden we heard about the Kurds and he couldn't leave Syria. And then Trump wanted to leave Afghanistan and we heard about Russian bounties on U.S. soldiers. And Trump would have never left. Believe me, he would never. If he had been reelected, he wouldn't have left Afghanistan, because he understand the intelligence community and the Pentagon would never have let him do it. But because he had this tough guy image, he could say, I want to leave places, and we wouldn't leave. They wouldn't listen to him. I mean, Trump was impotent, if you'll excuse the expression.
Trump's primary concern has always been and continues to be making obscene amounts of money. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's all he wants.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about for the military.
That's what he wants, money.
Yeah.
So, but I'm saying that here we are, every day we're talking about Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we're talking about something that we should have a very clear understanding about. And the last thing that we know is how it all started. That should be the news.
Well, that's really history. But what also is the news?
No. If it is history, I would say it is living history. The person who started it and shepherded the whole beginning of this insane arrangement is Bush. He's still around.
Yeah.
Nobody has asked him for an interview. Nobody has demanded that they revisit his rationale for getting involved in the first place. And look how many deaths have occurred. Look at the damage done. And he's walking around as free as a bird. Nothing bothers him. He's just in bliss. People are dying, people are being killed, people are being slaughtered.
Yeah.
And the president, the former president of the United States, who started the whole thing,
I think you have to go back further than just that dummy. He was just a puppet. And Carter, as I said, and Truman dropping nuclear weapons.
I have to tell you this.
Okay.
Don't minimize it.
Okay.
He is like saying, well, Hitler was just, he was just kind of crazy. No.
Well, I wasn't really putting Hitler in the same category as George Bush. But
it was the same thing as saying, we're talking now thousands and thousands and thousands of deaths. We're talking about silence, engineered silence. We're talking about a conspiracy that has lasted for more than 20 years.
Right.
And nobody has called him to account. Nobody has even repeated the history, spelled it out in great detail so we all understand what happened more than 20 years ago. The person, the pivotal person, is still alive.
Well, I mean, what do you expect them to say, Utrice? What do you expect them to say? Oops, I made a big mistake, or what should he say?
That's why the people are journalists. They're journalists because they have records, they have a history, they have sources, they have people they can talk to, they have witnesses, they have all kinds of means of telling the story. That's the story. How this all started. Bush is the guy.
I think the story is the newspapers and the television, those people that worked there all went to school together. They all socialized. They even marry each other. And they are just packaging the news for the rest of us and watching TV.
You keep minimizing stuff. They're just packaging. No, this is how nations are shaped. This is how policy is shaped. And I am saying that up until today, with all of the so-called coverage of this event, nobody has gotten close to saying, let's revisit with George Bush how this thing developed and why, and make him publicly accountable and recount the whole story. That should be the news.
Well, the thing is, you know, those guys, we know the story. I mean, they studied in Florida how to drive planes.
We know the story. If we knew the story, we wouldn't let it happen. We don't know the story.
Well, this is what I've heard.
The story is so important. Even if we knew something of it, it is worth fleshing out completely now.
Well,
He's in his senior years. He ought to be made to account. This has been a blistering wound all over the world, and he is the person who initiated it. He is the one.
Well, they've been lying
to be clear about that.
They've been lying to us for decades. How can you really tell who's responsible? I remember watching Osama bin Laden.
He was president.
They're not in charge. Utrice,
he was president.
They're just a figurehead. They're just a person to take abuse. I mean, look at what we got now.
He was the president. In other words, he was the top guy. He was the guy who made the decisions about war. That was his job.
Let me ask you, Utrice, do you think this person who's president right now, Joseph Biden, is making the decisions about what to do? Do you think that he is actually making those decisions?
But you see, you're jumping on a parallel track, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
I mean, you could say yes, he is, or no, he's not.
No, because I'll be talking about what you want to talk about. I still want to talk about what I want to talk about.
All right, it's your show. It's your show.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Utrice. Love it. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for your call, Russell. Appreciated it. All right. Brother David, you're on the air.
I know there's not much time, but as I think about your question in terms of what is news, I'm thinking about what is on the corporate television and radio and corporate print media. And as far as I'm concerned, those organizations run by the ruling class decides what they want to emphasize in the news. They certainly have things like catastrophes and crimes and whatnot that are something that they put for the people's notice and entertainment and whatnot. But the point is, they decide what is news that reinforces the continuation of their leadership and control of the people. I think that real news, people really have to dig for things that are beneficial to people in a different category, and those who rule don't want to deal with that. You're not going to hear much news about the cookery of the ruling class and the welfare program that basically benefits those who rule and those who control the country. So the basic thing is, if I take the short version, the news is controlled and decided in terms of what is news by those who rule.
Can the church say amen? Yes, the church should say amen to that.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you so much. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our program today. And I'm glad that somewhere before the program ended, we got to the point of what was news. And what is news is that even as he lives, he is guilt-free. He is responsibility-free for all of these years, decades of catastrophe after catastrophe, with impunity, because the news people know who started this to begin with. They know. And we will not see an article unless we insist that this be revived. Every newspaper likes the idea of reviving a story that is legitimate and very important. More than 20 years of this went without comment, went without opposition, and went with, in fact, engineered support from the people. All this killing, all this billions of dollars of taxpayer money that should have gone to schools and building hospitals and better roads. He is still, as they say, the fungus is still among us, and nobody's venturing close to it. That's news. We'll talk again with each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for today. Bye-bye.